Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Happy Wednesday, everyone. You're listening to All About Healing. I'm your host, Emily Francis, and we have the fabulous producer, Jay, on the line with us, who makes this show go round. Now, if I sound a little off to you, it is because my voice has shifted, and I'm really fighting it. I have just at the edge where I feel ever so slightly achy, but not full achy, thank God, and I'm hoping it stays that way. And then I have this dry cough that burns in the middle of my chest, and I've noticed that today my voice has gotten much more hoarse, and that also is because I did some filming earlier today, too, and sometimes when you talk a lot, it gets hoarse, but then add that weird, it's almost croupy cough, but not quite. So I started with the neti pot. I did that today, and I took some vitamin D and C and zinc. And then I did some hot tea with local honey and lemons from my lemon tree and some Moulin, I want to hear how you pronounce it, Moulin blend and some cayenne pepper and some turmeric in there. And then what else have I done? And then I took a hot bath just to get a little steam in there. But I think I've got a ways to go ahead of me. And my guest today is pretty much the perfect person to put on the show. That's why I started listing all my symptoms. We have Dr. Alana McLaughlin. She has been on this show before, not too far away. We promoted her summit. But now I have Dr. Alana on to myself to ask whatever I want and whatever I think you guys want to know. And guess where she lives? Alaska. So I'm here in the Mediterranean. Dr. Alana is in Alaska. So we have very different temperatures going on right now. But I think that we can both agree that the winter is here, and we're all having a little bit of a hard time. Me with the cold humidity, because it doesn't go below 60 degrees Fahrenheit, really, over here. But the cold in my house and the cold in my bones from the cold humid is painful. And I have no idea what the cold in Alaska is like, because I feel like there's like 20 feet of snow. So, Dr. Alana, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be back. Thank you for hosting and sharing all this amazing information, and I love to hear all the things that you've already started on to get yourself through this a little bit faster. You have, great tips there already.
Good. So how do you pronounce that? Moulin. M-U-E-L-I-N? Moulin?
Moulin. Yeah, so Moulin is a really great support, especially for the lungs. And if you're feeling, kind of you mentioned that, really deep, kind of almost like a dry cough and feeling a little bit of that, just feeling it down in your chest, the lungs are definitely starting to be impacted by it. So it's a great herb to add on for support, definitely.
Okay, that's good to know, really good to know. And I just started it today. I bought there's an herbalist here in downtown Malta. And that's where I buy my Ceylon cinnamon, because everybody else sells the other kind. And there's a bunch of other, like she gets different countries of oregano, and then she has this Moulin blend, and I grabbed it for this season. And I'll tell you what else I'm spraying is propolis spray in my throat.
Perfect. Yes, propolis is amazing because it is so concentrated. When you mention propolis, I also think of something else people have probably heard of as myrrh, that are very antimicrobial, very nourishing. And when you think of them, they're very thick. So usually they have to be diluted down a little bit. And in the spray, it's probably mixed with something to where you can actually spray it, because usually it's like a kind of like honey, but it's even thicker. But the amazing properties, kind of like the honey you mentioned, is naturally supporting our immune system and getting it back into balance for both of those.
Because I'm definitely, I always have a really hard time when the weather finally gets like this, because I'm from Georgia. I'm originally from California, but that doesn't count because I was 3 when we moved away. So really, I was in Georgia for more than 30 years, and we're in the South, so it's humid, hot. And then it isn't so humid in the cold, and now it's this really funky, cold, humid over here in the Mediterranean. Like, my salt lamps just drip and drip and drip. And you have to walk outside to warm up a little bit, and then there's no central heat, so it's just in different rooms. And the floors and the walls are made of limestone, and it's just, it's intended to cool the house down. So in the winter, it goes against. So I use a dehumidifier in my bedroom, but I'm really, like, all of a sudden I've kind of given in, like, yeah, okay, I really don't feel good. You know, I tried to hold it off, but now it's like there's no going around it. I can hear me. I sound awful, or at least not awful, but it makes me nervous how far down this is going to go. So I'm trying to catch it before it goes into something worse. How many, should I neti pot once a day, or how often?
I would say if you're doing neti pot, at least twice a day. And I think of neti pot as more of when we are having head symptoms. So if we have, like, nasal congestion or, like, the sinus pressure or feeling, like, that post-nasal drip where it's in our nose dripping down, the neti pot is great for clearing out. And also if we've been around other people or we're, you know, out in social settings. And it's really the clear because our nose is one of our first lines of defenses against, like, anything that we're exposed to. So by clearing out with a neti pot, it's eliminating it before it gets into the body. So really, morning when you get up, because usually we're a little bit more stuffy, and then also during the day, either if you've been out and about or before bed, is another great time to do a neti pot. And I recommend with it, too, is you can get different solutions, but just a tiny bit of, you know, like Himalayan sea salt or something like that to make it more pleasurable. There are solutions, too, that have more different, like, herbal components to it that you can add to it. But, yeah, it's such a great tool for preventing more exposure coming into our body.
I love that. And I didn't think about doing it morning and night. I do have a question. Neti pot, just so that if you guys are listening and you're not familiar, you can definitely Google a neti pot. It's N-E-T-T-I. Maybe it's N-E-T-I. And look at how to use it. I learned it when I lived at the yoga ashram. And the way they taught me, and I always stick to it, so I can't look at myself in the mirror when I'm doing it because then it goes down the wrong way. But we bring our chin forward, straight forward, and then we turn our head to a 45-degree angle when we put the side up one nostril, and then kind of find our space where it can easily come out the other nostril. You always do it with saline. You always add the salt. So I'll heat the water and add some good salt in there, some sea salt, and then let it, I wait until the hot water has almost completely cooled down. You don't want to burn, and you don't want it to be too cold, and you definitely cannot do tap water, just water. Like, that's super dangerous, so make sure you add that salt. So feel free to look into that. And now I'm going to ask, so Dr. Alana is a naturopathic doctor from my dream school of Bastyr University, which happens to be, like, the number one naturopathic school in the country of the United States. So you're like, as you know, I've already told you, you're like my hero. You did it. I think it's amazing. So on your homepage, so if you guys go to Dr. Alana McLaughlin, and that's A-L-A-N-A, and then McLaughlin is M-C-L-A-U-G-H-L-I-N. So like it sounds, Dr. Alana McLaughlin. If you go to the welcome, you'll see that she says, I'm here to guide you on your journey into abundant health and well-being, vibrancy and energy, balance and expansion. Our bodies are designed to heal, but sometimes we need some tools. So here's what she does. She provides you with naturopathic foundations, incredible bioenergetic scanning, powerful essential oils, weekly mindset and meditation, and 3 to 12 month whole body programs all in one place with her as your guide. And before I ask questions, you put out recently a thing about blood work and how you can really look deeper into it, but I want that to be into the next section of our show, so I don't want to go yet. But I do want to ask you oil pulling, which is like, for you guys that are listening, obviously you know, Dr. Alana, but oil pulling is a practice where you take about a spoon of coconut oil and you swish it around. Some people do it for like 10 seconds and hold 10 seconds on and off for 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, and it helps to get the germs out from around the teeth and the tongue. Do you think oil pulling would be smart to do when you're fighting an illness, or wait till you're better?
Oh, I would absolutely keep doing it if you're already doing, or if you don't, this can be a great time to incorporate it in, because our mouth really is an extension of our body, and it's the most easily accessible part of our, you know, our digestive system. So by, exactly like you said, by using the oil pulling, it helps with balancing out the pH of our mouth, as well as coconut oil is really an antimicrobial, so it helps with clearing out some of the microbes that are in our mouth that are maybe also contributing to why we're not feeling well, or if we have that post-nasal drip, or just the continuation of a mucosal membrane from our throat to our mouth. So I would absolutely recommend it. And the thing I always mention with people, if you have never done it before, just don't spit it in your bathroom sink, spit it in the garbage can so you don't end up with plumbing problems. But yeah, it's a fantastic tool to use.
I'm so glad you said that about the spitting out. I've been spitting it into plants outside. Is that not good?
Oh, I have never thought of that. I would think it'd probably be fine. I just had never thought about that.
Well, I don't know if it's gross to do it, but honestly, I've been doing that. First, I did it into a cup because I wanted to see if it was, like, discolored or not, because people show these gross things all over the Internet, and you think, my God, I'm going to have, like, black stuff coming out of my mouth. But I did not. It was all still looked like coconut oil, just murky, I guess, because it's been in my mouth for, you know, quite some time. And I've just started it, by the way. So I just started it right before this thing crept up. But I was starting, like, 5 minutes. Like, what do you suggest if people are listening and want to do this? What's the starting time?
Yeah, I think 5 minutes for any new habit that we're trying is perfect because it's manageable and you can do it while you're in front of the mirror doing, you know, your makeup or cream or whatever you do, or in the shower. And usually in the shower, you know, then you have like 5 to 10 or maybe longer that you can do it without being distracted or needing to talk to anybody. But 5 is perfect for any new habit we're starting. And then once you're like, okay, 5, I can do 10 now, it becomes easier to build upon, and then you're more likely to continue doing it. So habits are repetition to get it into your lifestyle.
But if you're doing it in the shower, don't spit it out, right?
Correct. Yeah. So you want to do it throughout your whole shower, and then when you're ready to get out of the shower, as you're drying off, just spit it into a waste basket or potentially outside. I'd be curious how your plants are doing, if it impacts, you know, increases growth or anything.
Well, I'm not trying to do it on my best plants. I'm trying to do it on, like, you know, pots and things that aren't as happy. But now here's my other little quick question is, when I get done with it, I just immediately brush my teeth. But would you recommend, like, swishing water first, or what's the protocol for when you spit it out?
So I would actually do reverse. I would brush your teeth first and then do the oil pulling after, because then you're going to allow the healthy fats, the omega-3s, remain on your gums or in your gums, so they continue working.
Oh, my gosh, I didn't think about that at all. So, okay, let's add floss into this. If I want floss and brush and oil pull, what's the order?
I would do, and I think people have a mix between flossing first or brushing first, but I generally say brushing first, then doing your floss to remove anything that your brush missed, and then doing your oil pulling.
Oh, it's interesting. I always floss and then brush. That's interesting.
Yeah, and
but
I think
you never know, because people don't talk about it.
Yeah, I've heard that too before. I know, right? And I think there is, like, difference of, because that would get, like, the biggest matter out of your teeth first, and then you're going to brush to get, you know, kind of fine-tune, and then oil pulling is really going to that next deepest layer. So I would say it would make sense to do that as well if you already floss first and then brush. It's, you know, and flossing is interesting because there's a big study that came out a couple of years ago, and I don't remember the sourcing of it or credibility, but it made, like, radio shows and stuff about how flossing didn't make a difference, and I would say dentists probably, you know, differ on that. So I think any time that you're attending to your health with positive intention and you're getting out large material that's stuck between, it's going to be beneficial for you as long as you're doing it gently and, you know, mindfully.
I have so much to think about on this because dental care is so important to me, and I'm really nutty on my nighttime skin, mouth, you know, program that I do, and it's like one of the only things that I have always been exceptional about is I do not go to bed with a dirty face. I do not ever sleep with makeup on, and I actually say ever, because even when I was like young and in college and wild and rowdy and would come home drunk as a skunk, and that I would still have my friends wash my face for me if I was too drunk. Like, I was really obsessed with this from an early age of, like, who's going to wash my face? Like, I cannot sleep with makeup on. And now at 50, I'm so glad that I've always been pretty meticulous in skincare. And so, you know, now I'm just going to add the oil pulling. Would you do it morning and night? Because right now I was only thinking morning.
Yes, it can also be one that you do a couple times a day. And a lot of the things I think about is the level of health that you're already under. So that if you have more things going on, you have some dental problems or some, you know, health problems going on, I would do it more often, so doing it twice a day. If you're overall pretty healthy and you're working on the fine-tuning, you're probably good with getting away with once a day. And it's going to be a preference for, is it easier in your morning routine? For me, it was easier in the evening routine during, you know, then it's going to be in my mouth all night as I'm sleeping instead of, like, getting, you know, food another couple of hours. But during the day, too, it's going to be protective for then anything you eat. And I remember talking with and having question and answer session with a holistic dentist when I was at Bastyr. He came and talked to our class, and he said the most important time to brush your teeth during the day is actually first thing in the morning, where you're clearing out or you're going through that process, because you're clearing out things that have been sitting in your mouth overnight, and then it's also going to be your protection regardless of what you eat or when you eat for the next couple of hours, because your mouth is already starting from a clean space. That has always been ingrained in my brain.
I wish that had been ingrained in my brain, because I'm just hearing that. And I was always really nutty about brushing my teeth after breakfast before I put on makeup. And now I'm hearing that you do it first thing, and I can't help but feel like that's still a little bit of a waste, because you're going to clean your mouth, and then you're going to eat, and then you're going to leave the house, and now your breath smells like whatever you just ate. Instead of, like, minty clean.
Yeah, I would do it again after as well. So after, if you're eating breakfast right away, because first thing in the morning, if you wake up and you do that first, you know, some people will do their journaling or mindfulness practice or exercise or whatnot, and then have breakfast. So that would be when you'd kind of separate out. If you are just going through your routine and you're eating fairly soon, then yes, I would say you could reserve it till after breakfast. But if you're having a gap in there, I would say do it before, like as soon as you get up, and then again after you eat breakfast, before you go about your day.
Now, that's different, because I used to overbrush my teeth where I would do things like that, and I started getting receding gum lines. And people said you can overbrush, so not to do more than twice a day, because I was doing three times a day. And I started to actually notice my teeth changing a little bit. And people said that's because you're overbrushing. So I think, if I'm going to do it in the first thing in the morning, then fine. I'm going to do it first thing in the morning. But I don't think, maybe I'll just eat a mint.
Or if you're doing the breakfast early, you could still do it after. Yeah, and it is very important with very gentle, making sure you're only using soft bristle brushes and very gentle. You should only be holding your toothbrush with a couple of fingers. It should be very, very gentle. It's not to, like, brush, you know, erode away, like, the plaque and stuff that you might have. It's to really just anything that's soft, that's easily comes off, is what the brushing is for.
You know what's interesting about this? My dearest friend here in Malta is an orthodontist, and her husband is an oral surgeon. And she and I had talked about, and we never did it, but we had talked about starting a YouTube channel where you teach your kids how to brush and floss and things like that, because as much as the dentist talks about it, I really don't think people get taught properly how to do these things. And what you just said is the first time I've ever heard that, where you hold it with just two fingers. Like, it would be a really good video to put out if you ever thought about doing that. And I know it seems like, okay, why am I teaching people how to brush their teeth? But I really do think, I know that we don't go side to side. I know we only go up and down or in circles, or, you know, brushing our tongue or tongue depressors, you know, things like that. People just, the average, and I don't use fluoride in my toothpaste and haven't for a great number of years. But a lot of people, like my husband and I, for example, he still uses the fluoride toothpaste. And my children do not, because I'm not doing it. So we have different toothpaste tubes, his side, my side. But I do think that stuff's really important. So it would be a great video. It will not be one that I put out because I don't have the training. But you can. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. But don't worry, we have Dr. Alana McLaughlin on the line, and we will be right back.
Emily A. Francis's new book, The Taste of Joy, Mediterranean Wisdom for a Life Worth Savoring, is all about heartfelt hints on attaining the most healthiest, fun, and inspiring life. By adding a bit of the Mediterranean lifestyle into your life, you'll explore the wisdom of eating mindfully, seasonally, and locally, as well as discover Mediterranean family secrets to health and happiness. And it's all in The Taste of Joy. Get your copy today at Amazon.com or visit EmilyAFrancisBooks.com.
Now there's hope for authentic healing. A new book by Emily A. Francis, Whole Body Healing, Create Your Own Path to Physical, Emotional, Energetic, and Spiritual Wellness, can help you discover a deeper way to approach your healing instead of using just the usual mainstream medical single methods. With Whole Body Healing and its extensive background of research, you'll be able to create your own healing path to achieve true and lasting results. Pre-order Whole Body Healing now at Amazon.com. You won't want to miss this priceless information. Whole Body Healing at Amazon.com by Emily A. Francis.
ASMC, the premier German company that supplies everything for adventure, from outdoor clothes to outdoor gear, even backpacks. Lots of quality and lots of specials. To start your adventure, go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ASMC.
You may never totally understand this man-woman emotional connection thing, but now you can understand your muscle's emotional connection in regards to your health. That's right, your muscles have an emotional connection. And if you want an easy-to-use blueprint to understand your muscle's emotion, then get Emily A. Francis's book, The Body Heals Itself. It helps you activate and heal your muscles on an emotional level. So indeed, the body heals itself. Plus, it's filled with tools you can use immediately. Find out more at EmilyAFrancisBooks.com. Buy The Body Heals Itself now.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to All About Healing. I'm your host, Emily Francis, even with my raspy, raw voice. And we have Dr. Alana McLaughlin on the line. You can go to GuidedTrailsNaturalHealth.com to find her as well. GuidedTrailsNaturalHealth.com. You can go there. You can just Google Dr. Alana McLaughlin. But you can find her. You can find her on my Instagram from our summit and our work, too, and my Facebook. So wherever you want to find her, just find her. Now, this, I think it really was this week, but she put out a video about what your blood work might tell you. Because, you know, we go and we get blood and we get whatever panels the doctor puts in. But there's a lot of functional medicine practices, naturopathic medicine, chiropractic, a lot of different things, a lot of different healing practitioners that encourage you to look between the lines of what's on your blood panel. So, Dr. Alana, I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but I would love to hear some of the things that you offer in your videos, some of the things that you want our listeners to start to pay attention to, if that's okay.
Yes, absolutely. And I definitely think it ties in with today as well, talking about, you know, immunity and, like, our protective barriers and the things that are going on. And we can see this in labs, even though oftentimes we get the complete blood cell panel done, the CBC. It is the most commonly ordered panel. It's not always ordered with a differential, though, which is what it should be every single time. Because what that does is, as we dive into it, we see our red blood cell count is at the top, and then we have our white blood cell count, or sometimes those are vice versa. But then we see the breakdown of our white blood cells, and that is really kind of the one that I think ties in the best today. And so I'll briefly mention the red blood cells and the RDW, the MCHC, all of those values are describing our red blood cells. And the big kind of factor that that can give us clues on is our methylation, which is this term, and you may, depending how much you've researched, is how our B vitamins are activated in our body or how well we use them. Some people have a really hard time methylating them, which activates them, so especially like B12 and our folate. So then people would supplement with methyl forms of those. And the other part that the red blood cells gives us is looking a glimpse at potentially if we have some things going on with iron and amount of iron, but then they mix up. So I'll kind of leave those at that, as I look at those for energy and whether we need to do an iron panel or request an iron panel to get more about how our underlying energy and immunity looks on that aspect. But the one that mostly ties in with today is when we look at the white blood cell count and we start looking at that differential of our neutrophils, our lymphocytes, our monocytes, eosinophils. These values can give us an idea if we have low-grade bacterial infections happening, such as in the gut, if we have low-grade viral infections, which can impact our overall immunity or our energy levels, our recovery, our, you know, everyday life factor of how well we bounce back. And a lot of times the labs will be within a normal range limit, and they'll say, you know, I don't see anything in here. But when we look at them through a slightly different range, and we also look at them as how things are trending on those ranges. Do we have a lot of high normals in values? Do we have an imbalance in, for example, our neutrophils and lymphocytes? It can indicate something of autoimmunity potentially happening in the body. And none of it is diagnostic, but there are pieces of the puzzle that we can put together for people who have been going through a lot of things and they just can't seem to become well again, or they just can't seem to figure out what that factor is. And for example, today's, if you're having where you're continuously getting sick, is we can look at your panels that they've already done and look at patterns over time. And I always say, when you get a lab panel, write down how you feel when you get that. Are you currently sick or have something going on, or is that a panel when you felt like you were doing well, so that you know historically what your body looks like naturally versus when it's trying to overcome something.
That's brilliant. I love that. And I do feel like a lot of people are struggling, that are dealing with some health issues, and getting a proper diagnosis is really hard to do. I mean, really hard. Like a person that has Lyme disease, it usually takes like years to get a proper diagnosis. So in these blood panels, would any of that be indicators that we should look at something different? I know that's a big open-ended question, but things that people might catch if they're listening.
Yes. So it's a yes and a no, because it's not going to say specifically, like you said, the diagnosis part doesn't really come from these basic lab panels, but it can show me that there's microbial imbalance between bacteria, viruses, fungi, and potentially sensitivities, parasites within that panel, which are commonly going along with what else we have, that we usually have multiple low-grade infections if we have one, because they all feed off of each other. So if our immune system is weakened, it allows for everything to grow a little bit, but it's going to be, usually there will be a pattern of one thing is more dominant. And as we have that one thing that's more dominant, that kind of gives us a clue of where to start. And usually if we help clear up that factor that's taking more of our energy, then our body can take care of the rest on its own. So we get this mindset of we need to know exactly what we're going after. But if we look at it from a holistic perspective and we look at our foundation of health, you don't always need the diagnosis to know what to do, is we can get clues of which direction. But then we have so much in, you know, herbal blends and balancing that working on the whole body and not just trying to attack or kill one thing like, you know, an antibiotic would do, which we know that oftentimes after like an antibiotic, which can be natural too, it can create an imbalance in everything else. So we take an antibiotic, but we don't do probiotics or probiotic foods, then we tend to have fungal infections come up and then we take something for that, versus looking at it as a perspective of we're going to use and maybe guide our protocol toward one, the biggest thing, but we're still nourishing everything else as well. And we're still looking at what we're eating. Are we avoiding sugar? Are we sleeping well? Are we managing our stress? All of these factors then determine the strength of our immune system and what we can get through.
Oh, you said sugar. I love sugar. I love sugar. Like, I don't have a lot of vices, but sugar is massive for me. I mean, I'm like a crack addict. Like, I really think that Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are my writing partner. They make me more creative. I wrestled with this my entire life, how much I love sugar. And I'm not even sure that I don't, like, that I want to give it up. Like, I want to talk about that when we come back. We have one more piece with Dr. Alana. We'll be right back.
Trauma or joy, shame or happiness, guilt or empowerment. Let Emily's new book, Healing Ourselves Whole, be the bridge to help you release negative emotions to help you heal on every level to create more joy, more health, and more vitality. Our body knows what we might forget. It's time to rearrange your inner conversation into spectacular health and happiness, and Healing Ourselves Whole is your step-by-step guide. Find out more at EmilyAFrancesBooks.com and buy Healing Ourselves Whole at Amazon.com now.
Now there's hope for authentic healing. A new book by Emily A. Francis, Whole Body Healing, Create Your Own Path to Physical, Emotional, Energetic, and Spiritual Wellness, can help you discover a deeper way to approach your healing instead of using just the usual mainstream medical single methods. With Whole Body Healing and its extensive background of research, you'll be able to create your own healing path to achieve true and lasting results. Pre-order Whole Body Healing now at Amazon.com. You won't want to miss this priceless information. Whole Body Healing at Amazon.com by Emily A. Francis.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
You may never totally understand this man-woman emotional connection thing, but now you can understand your muscles' emotional connection in regards to your health. That's right, your muscles have an emotional connection. And if you want an easy-to-use blueprint to understand your muscles' emotion, then get Emily A. Francis's book, The Body Heals Itself. It helps you activate and heal your muscles on an emotional level. So indeed, The Body Heals Itself. Plus, it's filled with tools you can use immediately. Find out more at EmilyAFrancesBooks.com. Buy The Body Heals Itself now.
The Bright Side of Talk. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to All About Healing. I'm your host, Emily Francis. We have Dr. Alana McLaughlin on the line. She's a naturopathic doctor from Bastyr University. And the reason I keep saying that you're from Bastyr is because it is my dream school, but also because there's a lot of people that are, quote-unquote, naturopathic doctors, and it might have been like a one-year extra class on top of a main thing that they studied, and they still might be really good at it, but I want people to really understand the depth of your actual training is super deep and legit. So that being said, I opened up to my part that I really, really struggle with this all the time because I know I should, and I hate the word should, but I have to use it. I know I should want to get rid of sugar. I do, in my head. But I don't, in my whole body and heart and soul, understand truly, why I have to, or why I should, or why I should want to, because it is my favorite thing. Okay, go ahead.
And you're definitely not alone on that, and I'm sure so many people on here are shaking their head, but, you know, some people it's the sugar, some people it's coffee or chocolate or bread or dairy, and sometimes we can see the impact on our health that we're like, I think this might, you know, not always be in my best interest, but I just mentally, you know, I just don't want to give it up. I have this resistance to it. And I would say, then we look at, you know, are we able to handle it in moderation? Is it something that we need to have at certain times that it's almost like a low-grade addiction in a way that this makes
mine's
us
big.
Feel
it's
good,
not low
it gives
grade.
Us dopamine.
Mine is big.
Okay, or big, yes. And sometimes when we're looking at those things, go into the body and biochemically, what is happening? And microbially, what is happening? Because sugar is a big one that feeds, it gives us this feel-good feeling. It kind of lifts everything up, and then a lot of times it brings, a crash. We see this in kids a lot, right, when they have Halloween or whatever, where they have a lot of sugar, and then they crash, and then they get sick. And sometimes, though, the drive, especially when we have it at such a young age, is that it's compensating for something, that it might be our body needing more energy or it could be coming from, you know, the balance within our gut, within our microbiome, that we have these microbes that actually program our, you know, our gut and brain are so closely connected and how we produce neurotransmitters. And I'm saying this because the gut microbes and those cravings can often come from those microbes and not actually your own body cells. So it can be very difficult if we feel like we probably should, you know, eliminate something like sugar or dairy or gluten because that's what our gut is telling our brain that it needs, when really that's what those unhealthy microbes are needing, not what our body actually needs. So it can be very complex.
You know, I have thought a lot about hypnotherapy, which I have done many, many times. But I keep thinking, I don't know. I mean, I used to not drink coffee, and now I drink coffee. But I drink coffee, once a week. And it's a mocha. So it's a hot chocolate with a shot of espresso. I don't do, coffee. I haven't had a cola since 1998. I don't have a lot of addictions, but it's, you said sugar, and then you also said chocolate. My addiction is chocolate. All day, every day, it's got to be there. I don't think I do a day. I have, and I remember this. Before my 40th birthday, so 10 years ago now, I did 40 days of no chocolate, no desserts, no sugary, no blatant sugar products. And I really thought, okay, when I turn 40 and I have a birthday cake or whatever, I'm going to hate it. That's what I really hope. I hope that when I take a bite, it makes me feel sick. And instead, we were at the beach, and we went into the Great American Cookie Company. I will never forget this. And I got a double chocolate, double doozy cookie straight out of the oven because I wanted to give myself something so overwhelmingly sweet and sugary that it would make me physically sick, but it didn't. It was like orgasmic. It was like I really thought I would have like a different response, and every part of my body went into like overdrive of sensation, and I loved every minute of eating that thing. Like, that's not normal, right? That's not a normal thing.
Well, and I think, you know, what we think of as normal or what, if you talk to 10 people, I'm betting you're going to have more people that have that side of things of like, but when I have this thing, it's so good, even though, you know, how do you feel a little bit later or how does overall my body feel with this as, you know, a different picture. And you're kind of, in your question earlier of, you know, what, why not? Why shouldn't I? Because that's a great question that I've seen more people asking is why not? And it can be why not a positive thing, but also why not more sugar? And within the body, it's about balancing our blood sugar, and that's on, you know, kind of tying back to labs a little bit with like our hemoglobin A1C and glucose. It's how does our body regulate sugar? Does it do really well and we process well? Our insulin is good? Or do we see signs where we're not regulating as well as we should be? And then we should be a little more cautious. If our body's regulating well and we have things like that, it's like this special treat that we really look forward to, and we're eating, you know, some will say like 90-10 or 80-20 of 80 or 90% healthy and choices that make us feel good, and then 10% of like these are pleasures and, you know, have sugar or chocolate or whatnot, then we're overall going to be in a pretty good place. So I like to look back at deeper of like, how is this doing with our body as well as how do we feel in the moment?
See, this is where you and I cannot do that little in moderation thing. I think it's partly because I'm an 11-11 birthday and I'm Scorpio. And I just don't think that works for me, so I'm more of an all or nothing kind of girl. And I really, there's some things that I've learned how to be moderate about, but not usually. It really is. It's just an interesting thought because here I am, I'm doing this all about healing and I write books on body healing and I understand. But I also never talk about weight or, you know, any of those shoulds, things like that, because my weight has been very different in different phases of my life and who I am. But the sugar thing has always been a constant. It's not a new at all. And I think part of it, just to say, my parents were extreme health nuts. My dad lived by Earl Mandel's Vitamin Bible, and he used to make me drink these god-awful, lecithin brewer's yeast, disgusting shakes in the morning. They were so gnarly. And if I was, like, eating cereal, he would stand over my shoulder and pour wheat germ into the cereal. And when I would get to my friends or when I'd get to school, I would trade my whole lunch for a Twinkie. Like, anything to get that sugar because it wasn't in our house. And if we had chocolate things, it was Carob. So he would go to the health food store and get Carob-covered raisins. Why I still love chocolate-covered raisins so much. I never thought about that. Anyway, we're out of time. So if you have anything you want to tell the guests, you got your spot now.
Yeah, I would summarize in that last piece that the mindfulness of the eating part is so important as well, of not letting it stress us out as figuring out to add one more component to it. But you're so right that we, you know, we go through life and it is about moderation all the way from our kids upward to have them learn healthy eating habits. And then, you know, we all have to make our own choices, though.
I love that. I can't wait for you to be back on. So Emily's Energy Corner is coming up next. And then the month of December, I'm going to play reruns because I'm going to take a little break. And then I will come back at the first of the year with brand new episodes. So you guys, make sure you tune in. Make sure that you let me know what you want for the show. And I can't wait to see you on Thursday starting January at the same time, 10 a.m. Pacific time. You guys have a wonderful week and a wonderful rest of the year.
The Emily A. Francis's new book, The Taste of Joy, Mediterranean Wisdom for a Life Worth Savoring, is all about heartfelt hints on attaining the most healthiest, fun, and inspiring life. By adding a bit of the Mediterranean lifestyle into your life, you'll explore the wisdom of eating mindfully, seasonally, and locally, as well as discover Mediterranean family secrets to health and happiness. And it's all in The Taste of Joy. Get your copy today at Amazon.com or visit EmilyAFrancisBooks.com.
Now there's hope for authentic healing. A new book by Emily A. Francis, Whole Body Healing, Create Your Own Path to Physical, Emotional, Energetic, and Spiritual Wellness, can help you discover a deeper way to approach your healing instead of using just the usual mainstream medical single methods. With Whole Body Healing and its extensive background of research, you'll be able to create your own healing path to achieve true and lasting results. Pre-order Whole Body Healing now at Amazon.com. You won't want to miss this priceless information. Whole Body Healing at Amazon.com by Emily A. Francis.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
If you have low vision or are blind, then listen up. There's now high visibility trendy sports clothing available just for you. At AwareWolfGear.com, you'll find attractive, stretchy, warm hoodies, headgear, leggings, even kids' wear to fit the duality of blindness, the need to be seen without drawing needless attention. Check out these trendy clothes for yourself or for someone you know at AwareWolfGear.com. That's AwareWolfGear.com. AwareWolfGear.com.
Music, information, and friends. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to All About Healing. And guess what time it is? Emily's Energy Corner. We're bringing it back. So this is just me for this last part of the show because I wanted to share some very exciting news. I hope it's exciting for you as well. After 6 years on the show, I'm still doing the show, but we're going to move days. So I've always done it on Wednesday, 10 a.m. Pacific time. But now, after the new year, we're going to move to Thursdays at the same time. So 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. over here in Malta, Central Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. CEST. So 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, and 7 p.m. Central Eastern Standard Time. So All About Healing will keep everything the same except the day. We're just going to move it over one day, and that is simply because I had a scheduling conflict that made it really difficult to record the show, and Jay, my producer, and Linda, the beautiful owner of Healthy Life Radio, were really, really lovely and very flexible with me and allowed me this opportunity, which is really special because that doesn't happen very often when you are on radio and things are booked all day long back-to-back. So I'm tremendously grateful, and I hope you guys come with me over there and invite your friends. I still really encourage for you to reach out to me. You can DM me on Instagram, Emily A. Francis Books, or you can email me straight up, emilyafrancis@gmail.com, or you can message me straight from healthylife.net. You can go right to my website and shoot me an email, but tell me the things that you want to hear on All About Healing in the new year, because I think we're all ready to begin something new, something bold, something, a brand new chapter. And I think a lot of people have been starting to really plan ahead of what things they really want to become. I don't know about you, but I feel like every year has been on a really high-speed warp of growth and new things and new opportunities. And I look back at the year and just think, whoa. Wow, okay, a lot of opportunities have come without me really noticing because maybe some of them were step by step, but I think it's important. Now, I also think New Year's Eve is not the be-all, end-all of starting new things. I'm a huge fan of birthdays, being your new year. I'm a big, big fan of that. So when I do vision boards and I do meditations and create my year ahead, I do that on my birthday. And that doesn't mean I don't do it at New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, but I think my birthday is really important to set into motion what is the next year. So not everything is just New Year's. And by the way, I say this all the time, and I still mean it. People, they spend so much time trying to trash the year before. Oh, thank God, New Year. Ugh, I got to be done with this other one. It's not really the best way to go into a new place because you're bringing in that negative juju with you. So you want to look back with gratitude, find the silver linings, and there is always a silver lining, but some years are from hell and some years are from heaven, and you don't get to decide. Now, here is one thing. A lot of people believe, and I tend to be one of them, that on the years that are odd numbers for you and your age, it is the opening of new opportunities. And the even numbers of your age is the finality of new projects. So it's when things, so let's say I pitch a book, that usually happens in an odd year number, and then the book goes to print on the even year number. So however old you are, coming into this new year, maybe if it's an odd number, if you're, say, 49, I just turned 50, let's say 49, then you're opening up new opportunities. Doesn't mean it doesn't happen in the 50s. It just means pay special attention to the opportunity that an odd year number is an opening, kind of a portal opening energetically. And the even numbers is more of a, you are finishing what you opened the year before. And it may or may not be some big project, but it might be. So go into this new year. Get yourself ready to jam into 2025, which, when did that even happen? Can you believe we're already going into 2025 so soon? It just, didn't 2024 just happen? It always takes me like 3 months to get used to writing the date and remembering the year. And now I try. I remember my friend said this, and she's a Baptist minister who studies Buddhist philosophy and is a spiritual counselor for drug and alcohol treatment. So she has this really deep view of the human condition. And I remember she had her child about a year or two before I did. And she said, it goes so fast if you let it. But I try to be very present to every single day, so that I don't look back later and feel like I missed it. And I remember this so profoundly, and I still do it, not just with my kids, but with my life, with myself. And they always say the days are short, but the days are long, but the years are short. And that's true in a sense, but not always. I mean, being really present to each day makes you be in it. You're in it. This is your life. Don't wish it away. Every time I read those memes about us Monday, it's so sad. And I know that everybody has a different setup. And so sometimes we're in those positions where we really resent the beginning of a week. And then I went to massage school and became a massage therapist, and Monday made no difference because I worked more on the weekends than I did during the weekdays. And it was an interesting take on how Mondays no longer held any sort of power over me. I always thought that was kind of a cool revelation of like, wow, Monday is not depressing. It's what people think it's supposed to be. People act like Monday is a heavy day. Do you know that more people die on a Monday than any other day of the week? And sometimes I think it's from social conditioning that you're taught to believe that somehow Mondays are miserable because you're starting a week of something that weighs you down. And not everybody can quit their job or start something new or write a book. I get it. I really do. But I made a decision a long, long time ago, long before I got married, back when I was broke as a joke, but I decided for myself, how many massages do I need to do in a week to cover my bills? And then how much more do I want to cover my other interests? And then I just kind of needled it down. Okay, I need this many in a week. And the rest, great if I get it, but I also don't want to work myself into the ground. And that's just me. Some people decide to kind of live a little bit more prosperous, and some people decide not to, and some people don't even know they're deciding. But everything that you're doing is a decision in motion, whether you are intending it to be or not. So in this new year of possibilities, don't wait until New Year's Eve to do your vision board or to write your questions of who am I, what do I want, what am I willing to do to get it. Okay, you can listen to this part and go, okay, one, two, and three. Who am I? Like, really, who am I? What do I stand for? What do I want? And please don't do a Christmas list of cars. I mean, really, what do you want for yourself and your life? And the deal breaker of all questions, what am I willing to do to get it? And that will change how you view what's coming in. That's it for me, you guys. I hope to talk to you next week. Shoot me an email. In the meantime, make it a great week.
Emily A. Francis offers you a unique approach to healing that works directly within the memory systems of your body. Healing Ourselves Whole is a groundbreaking interactive book containing everything you need to clean your emotional house from top to bottom, including journal prompts and audio meditations, all to help you dig deep into your past, change the dialogue, and let go of the pain and trauma to have a joyful and fully empowered life. Find out more at EmilyAFrancisBooks.com and buy Healing Ourselves Whole at Amazon.com now.
Now there's hope for authentic healing. A new book by Emily A. Francis, Whole Body Healing, Create Your Own Path to Physical, Emotional, Energetic, and Spiritual Wellness can help you discover a deeper way to approach your healing instead of using just the usual mainstream medical single methods. With Whole Body Healing and its extensive background of research, you'll be able to create your own healing path to achieve true and lasting results. Pre-order Whole Body Healing now at Amazon.com. You won't want to miss this priceless information. Whole Body Healing at Amazon.com by Emily A. Francis.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.